Welcome, everybody. I think it's every retreat is an opportunity to encounter the merciful love of our Lord through either his mother, saints, Holy Spirit. And I wanted to give the meditation and the talk in the reverse order, but because we're going to have our Lord exposed, that will be the second meditation. It'll be called Mary, Queen of Hearts. And this one is... I thought it was fitting, Mary and emotional intelligence. It's more of a talk, but it does have points of reflection. And I think that in the spiritual life, when, at least it happens to me, that it's not, when we think about different topics that you can preach about or reflect on, it's not about, let's say, having a list of 60 topics, because at the end of the day, if you look at the liturgy every year, isn't it always talking about four or five different things, the essentials? God is simple. We're the ones who, let's say, flesh out things in many different ways and directions. But, and so a lot of what constitutes a spiritual life is that you and I change as time goes by, and we need to hear the same ideas in a different light, because what could tell me something one day in which I'm very solid, I'm doing well, tells me something very different the next year or the next. The highs and lows of our souls need different messages placed there at different times. And then the Holy Spirit is always the God of today. He's the sanctifier of today. And he tells me something today that he could have not told me in the past. Or he'll make me go deeper into a concept, an idea that I bring to my heart as the river of my life, where a lot of ideas are coming and I bring these back to the Lord. So I wanna talk about this emotional intelligence, but starting with a phrase that some of you have heard me. It comes from a beautiful book called How to Know a Person. And the phrase I'm going to end with this phrase because it should all kind of come full circle, hopefully, with the help of the Holy Spirit. But this phrase says, if you beam the light of your attention on me, I blossom. If you see great potential in me, I will probably come to see great potential in myself. If you beam the light of your attention on me, I blossom. If you see great potential in me, I will probably come to see great potential in myself. To me, this is a phrase that, in a unique way, summarizes the greatest commandment, which is to love one another. The gospel of this Sunday is to love one another. It's the crown of all virtues. Love. And a lot of the love that we give and receive passes through our faculties, which we have our higher faculties, reason and our will, that illuminated by faith guide us. But then we also have some beautiful things that the Lord put in there. Emotions, feelings, instincts. And part of the spiritual life is to understand how to guide those lower faculties according to the higher faculties, is to understand what God wants. And we're going to see how Mary is truly an example of emotional intelligence in her own life. With her beautiful heart and her beautiful feelings, she also was firm. Firm with herself, and she always followed the will of God, as we hear and testified by her own son. We'll come to that passage. So first, I think it's interesting, it's good to define what are emotions. What are our emotions? Well, emotions are natural feelings that in themselves are neither good nor evil. Their moral value depends on how they are integrated with reason and will. This is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Contributing to good actions when properly ordered and potentially leading to evil when disordered. So we hear order and disorder. And in all of us, there's a little bit of chaos. That's why we need to go to confession. That's why we come to retreats. We are wounded by original sin. and we will be totally fixed only after purgatory, unless there's a very holy woman here who will go directly to heaven. But those are few. That's just JP2 and Mother Teresa of Calcutta. All of us will spend a little time, you know, cleaning our white dress. What does Jesus think about emotions? Well, there's a moment you recall where he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom, but he who does the will of God. So we might be, and remember another moment where Jesus says that there's a man, a father, who says to his son, son, come and work in the farm. And he says, yes, father, I will be there. And he doesn't show up. And another one says, no, I can't go. But then something happens and he shows up and he asks, who did the will of God? And Jesus, in the Gospel of John, talks about that his father's always with him. My father loves me because I always obey his words. And it's almost like obedience takes on a different color when seen in the light of Scripture. There's a psalm that says, Lord, how I love your commands. In our world today, it's all about freedom. And I decide what's good. I decide what I want. Obedience is not fashionable, right? But in the gospel language, it's always at the core. It's always at the center. It's listening to God and ordaining all of who I am, which includes emotions, to the will of God. What is not emotional intelligence? It's also good to define what is not. So it could be so many answers, but just being nice or agreeable, or the absence of negative emotions. So that's, you know, emotions. And when we talk about emotional intelligence, we see that around us in our lives, there are two types of people: the diminishers and the illuminators. Diminishers make people feel small and unseen. They, for some reason, they're caught up in themselves. They might have gone through something rough. They're trying to protect their inner garden. They're always pulling conversations to themselves. They can't see the good in people. Maybe it comes from family or upbringing or habits, ingrained vices, repetition of bad, you know, thoughts of slander, gossip, whatever it is. But they seem to always see that black spot in the white canvas. Whereas illuminators have a persistent curiosity about other people. They have been trained or have trained themselves in the craft of understanding others, what others are going through. They know what to look for and how to ask the right questions at the right time. It's people who have the ability to ask one question after the other, one follow-up question after the other, showing the person, you're valuable to me, you interest me. I sometimes like to use examples of people that are not very holy. So just remain with the example. Don't remain with the person. But Jimmy Fallon, I was analyzing him the other day. It's not St. Jimmy Fallon. But the other day, I just happened to see his interview to Rory McIlroy. If you don't know who Rory McIlroy is, you can get out, step out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a golf fan. And when he won the Masters, he came to New York, and I thought, why is he such a good interviewer? And Jimmy Fallon, what I saw is, and I think you do it in your social gatherings and with your family, but it was just, Rory, wow, you're amazing. Tell me what that was like. He was putting him in a pedestal, and he was not bringing the conversation to himself. It was just all about, what was it like? What did you feel the night before? What did you tell your wife? Were you thinking of your daughter? When you sunk that putt, did you think of your legacy? What you're going to leave to your family? And how many people have done what you have done? And I saw how there was an interest. And of course, Rory felt like the king there in his seat, right? But those things, there's very small things that make a people, make a person feel listened to or not listened to. And you see in social gatherings how sometimes, you know, a topic will be put in the center of 2, 3, 4, 5 different people, and some of them will just yank that topic, and we'll start coming up with our own examples of things instead of saying, hey, tell me more. Tell me more about your experience. To be able to understand people and be present for them in their experience, that's the most important thing in the world. Why does Dale Carnegie say, when you hear your name, it's special? Why do we describe John Paul II, or he has been described as, when you were with him, there was nobody else in the world. It was just you. You're the most important person right now. Those details are what Mary shows us. These are not like, oh yeah, these are girly things. No, this is what Mary shows us. Mary, at the wedding of Cana, she noticed. They don't have wine. Mary, but they're going to get drunk. They don't have wine. I don't care what they do with the wine. They don't have wine. I'm concerned for this couple. They're going to feel bad. What they do with that, we'll see later on. My son will take care of that. But they don't have wine. There's a gesture that only a woman could have because the men are out there talking about, you know, golf. Some people first encounter others with a gaze that is generous and loving. Other people regard those they meet with a formal and aloof gaze. That gaze, that first sight, represents a posture toward the world. Think about this. How beautiful and how different society would be if we would live by this motto. I'm going to trust you before you trust me. Does that happen in Manhattan? I'm going to trust you before you trust me? No. It's, I don't trust you. You have to earn my confidence. But Father, if you knew what people do to you, you have to be on your guard. Yes, a little bit, yes. But the gospel would always say, do to others what you want them to do to you. It's not the Old Testament, the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. The heart that becomes childlike would start by giving the other person the benefit of the doubt. So emotional intelligence, now defined, we have defined what emotions are, not emotional intelligence. It's the ability to recognize, understand, and manage. Now we're going to talk about ourselves because that's what we're here for. And effectively use your own emotions while also being able to perceive and influence, for the good, of course, for Christ, the emotions of others. It's being attuned with the emotions of others. And we will get to how what importance this needs to have, and as with Mary as the primary model. A further dive into emotional intelligence is the serene integration of the emotional strengths under the control of faith, reason, the will, and ultimately love. In his last encyclical, I think it's an encyclical, I'm not sure it's encyclical or apostolic letter, but from Pope Francis, Dilexit Nos, he loved us, talking about the Sacred Heart. He says this, the heart understood not as emotions, but as the center and core of the person, integrates and eventually decides what is right according to God. Emotional balance requires recognizing one's own feelings in order to guide them under the direction of the intellect and will, so that these prevail over mere instinct. Instincts, emotions, passions, they need to be guided. On their own, they're blind. They're blind. It's the ability to see someone else deeply and make them feel seen. Wisdom isn't knowing about physics or geography. Wisdom is knowing about people. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see deeply into others and bring light and to be salt for them. Now, imagine that you're thinking, well, what if I don't have emotional intelligence? Can I develop it? Can I develop it? Absolutely. Absolutely. How? How can we develop emotional intelligence? If we think that maybe if our tank is not at 100 or at 90, we want to have it somewhere between. If we feel that maybe I could do a better job, maybe I could surrender, I could offer the Lord more emotional intelligence towards the people around me. Well, one thing is in social settings to do these small exercises. With exercises, we, you know, practice makes perfect. To not talk about myself unless prompted to. As an exercise. Okay, today I'm going to go to this get-together, this party, this dinner. Let me do the exercise of just being interested in everybody else and not to fill my own needs and wounds through the conversations, which sometimes is what we're doing. That could be one. Today, I want to be interested in everybody else's things, their affairs. And number two is, I want to ask one interesting question after another until the person can say, she's interested in me. I'm seen. So emotions is, what do I do with them? And if they were placed there by God, they do have a good role in us. What our task is to form our mind and our will illuminated by the will of God. That's why we go to the gospel every day. Why meditate with the gospel of every day? Well, because our impacted human nature tends to react to things according to the world. And Jesus always says, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. When we meditate in the word of God, it becomes like honey for us. That's the way we react. And instead of having a hardcore reaction to whatever situation or person or relationship, we can become, what did Paul mean when he said, it is no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. It's the possibility of seeing somebody through the eyes of their mother, which is always the best eyes, or the eyes of Christ. And it seems so commonsensical, but the world doesn't live that way. We ourselves don't live that way many times. That's why we go to confession. And what do we confess? I've said bad words internally or externally, I don't know. I've gotten frustrated. I've yanked. I've yelled. I've said. I've had bad temper. I've answered in a way that I didn't. Of course, it's okay. We're all a work in progress, but our work should be to have the same sentiments, and by that, those sentiments, as Jesus, Paul tells us, it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress. So, with all of this, what place do emotions have? Emotions are indicators, but not deciders. They indicate something. If I'm feeling something, I shouldn't just not pay attention to it, but I should say, okay, where does that lead me? Go deeper. And journaling, which I know that women like to do, is something good because it unpacks what's behind this. Why are you feeling this still after all this time? Or why are you starting to feel this? Where's the jealousy coming from? Where's the hard-heartedness coming from? Is it that this reminds you of somebody else? Is this person looks so much like somebody else that it triggers you? Does it remind you of something that your dad, your sister, your husband, your child have done? What? And so they can be an indicator to go and heal something, but I'm not going to respond to emotions as my decision makers. They're not deciders. The deciders are faith and reason. What wounds or worries are behind these emotions? In which way can I respond and guide them? And I remember also in the first interview that Pope Francis, that was done to him in the beginning of his papacy, by a Jesuit magazine. I remember it was very early on in his pontificate, and he said the first reactions of people are never the best ones. And so that's not count to 10, but count to 100. Ponder. Mary pondered these things in her heart. Those of us who tend to react quicker, little by little, even if we advance 1 inch, 1 centimeter per month or per year, we say, hey, I'm not reacting as quickly as I used to. Okay, that's already an act of worship. It's an act of love. Lord, I'm trying. I can't go from 0 to 100 in 4 seconds, but I'm trying, and I'm aware, and I analyze it through my life of examination. So Mary and emotional intelligence. I think she shows us a life that is guided by that. So one example is when you recall when Jesus is out there with his apostles and he's teaching, and the gospel doesn't say what he was talking about, but they say, hey, Lord, your mother and your brothers are out there. And he says, who is my mother and my brothers? And she wasn't offended. She wasn't like, oh, how rude for my son. Who, actually, it was a praise from the son. Who are they? Those who listen to the word of God, the word of my father, and obey it. Mary wasn't one to cave in due to her sentiments and feelings. Also, although I'm sure she had a very rich emotional life. But she must have been she had to be a perfect example of emotional intelligence. I remember, maybe this will resonate in your hearts, but I remember a young girl who met a guy at Notre Dame when they had a summer course. He's Mexican, she's Colombian, and he was really in love with her, and she wasn't too much. She just thought that they were friends. But she always has been an example to me. And I tell this story to young people because the last day that they were together there in Notre Dame, he had a bouquet of flowers behind the grotto there in Notre Dame to give to her. And she had no clue. She thought we're just friends and it's the last day and we're going to leave each one to their own country. And so he takes her to the grotto and says, hey, just hold on a minute here. And so he goes behind, brings out the flowers, and he says, I think I love you. And she says, oh my goodness, but you know, I thought we were just friends. And he said, look, we each are going to go to their own country. And he told her, you don't have to do anything. Let me do everything to make you fall in love with me. And they got married. I married them in Colombia. But the part that I thought was very exemplary from Isabel is that she came back to Colombia. And she said, I met this guy. He seems to be good. He was in a legionary school. Can you please investigate a little bit about him? And she said, I'm not going to let my heart go because in December he's coming to visit me. I want my mom and sister to see him. And I've always told the girls this thing about, well, I couldn't help it. I just fell in love. No, she didn't allow herself too much hype, too many emotions until what was for her, everybody will find a different way, but for her is when mom, dad, and sister see and approve, I can let the heart go a little more. That's reining the emotions to be guided. And that's a very specific example. Now apply that to your current life. I think that in this that we're talking about, Mary as an example of this emotional intelligence ordered to the kingdom, ordered to people, Joaquin Navarro Valls, the Spaniard who was the spokesman for John Paul II, a great man. He was probably the best friend that John Paul II had, even closer than Monsignor Jivitz, the Polish. And he, in his book, which is called Joaquin Navarro Valls, talks about, he repeated to everybody who, his book is a biography, it's 20 people talking about Joaquin. And they say, Joaquin taught us all that who I have in front is not a waiter, not a waitress, not an athlete, not a policeman. I have a person. Who I have in front is somebody with dreams, somebody with children, somebody with parents, somebody with desires. And he would always talk about, think that who you have in front, when you go to a restaurant, the person who's serving you, ask them their name. It's a person. They are a person. And so here is just a little example, I guess, for our area of the country, in the sense of, you know, the area of work. It says, a manager notices, try to apply this to your own circumstances, notices her team is stressed about an upcoming deadline. Rather than ignoring their anxiety or adding pressure, she, the manager, acknowledges their concerns, adjusts priorities, and offers specific support where needed. This demonstrates both empathy and social skills. She notices. Again, we go back to Mary. She noticed. They don't have wine. She was there as a guest. And she was the main one, because the gospel starts saying Mary was, and Jesus was also there. The gospel wanted to point out Mary is an example. Now, 3 days later, there was a wedding at Cana, and Mary was there, and Jesus was also there. And I gave you the example. Another example is the visitation. We just take it for granted. Oh, yeah, I know what the visitation is all about, but walking from wherever she was, Nazareth, to that place, she's a little peasant girl from a little town going from Jerusalem up to the hill country. I was listening yesterday to John Bergsma explain this scene yesterday, and he says, this was like a girl going from New York to Connecticut, right, to visit Elizabeth on her own. She's now pregnant. Maybe Joseph wasn't with her, because it doesn't say that he was with her. She also noticed, she needs my help. And although the angel appeared to me, it didn't make her feel that I'm more. She had the humility to go out and serve. And then this emotional intelligence, this going and reflecting on all these things, is we have the example of Jesus in the temple, right? Where he gets lost. No, when he's found in the temple at 12 years of age, and she says, you know, where were you? Don't you know that your father and I were worried? And at the end of this confusing moment, it says she pondered these things in her heart. These feelings, the first feeling was fear. My son, where is he? What is God the Father going to say? You lost my child. I gave him to you. And she ponders these things and says, okay, my first reaction might have not been the best one. I'm going to ponder this, count to 100, and think about how I have to expect these things. He's the Son of God. And he's finding his way. And that's why he says, didn't you know, your father and I were worried. And she says, didn't you know I had to be in the things of my father with a capital F? It's that other father that I need to worry about first. So she is definitely a model of reason illuminated by faith. No matter how much we can, you know, picture Mary as just this queen of hearts who would be just, you know, sentimental, you know, jelly. No, she's an example of strength, because we read in the Acts of the Apostles, she was the center of the apostles after Christ's death until her assumption into heaven. She was the core. She was the one who, I'm sure, sent them out to the ends of the world and gave them the strength to be martyrs. Everybody was a martyr except for St. John. So let's end this talk with that phrase that we started at the beginning, which is what motivates us is, if you beam the light of your attention on me, I blossom. If you see great potential in me, I will probably come to see great potential in myself. And let's ponder, maybe let's take 5 minutes in silence before we have a little bit of just mingling on this. How are my emotional intelligence levels? How can Mary be a better model, a new model for me in this time, of an example of a true mother, but a true rock as well, a strong rock? And how can I concretely, I gave you two examples of, in social settings, do small actions that, incorporated to the help of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, will help me to have higher love Another way to put it, we would say the spiritual expression is higher love. The psychological expression would be to have higher emotional intelligence.